America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You are listening to the post-election episode of Let's Weekend.
Oh, man.
Glad that's over.
Tuesday was a fucking nail-biter, dude.
I think it still is for you guys.
Yeah, it is for us and Florida.
Votes are still being counted.
Votes are still being counted. We'll get to all that in a bit. But so just real quick, we'll go ahead and just the TLDR version. The Democrats have taken the House of Representatives it's at least the last time I checked, it was like 35, but it might be as many as 40 seats. Because, again, the votes are still being counted for a bunch of them.
They own the House at this point.
Yeah. However, the Republicans actually gained some seats in the Senate. However, some Senate seats are still up in the air. We'll be getting to that in a little bit. But basically,
there's your episode title.
Yeah. But basically, it wasn't really the blue wave, it was the rainbow wave. But here's the thing, though. Most of those elections in the Senate where the Republicans got it, they got it by razor-thin margins.
Yep.
I mean, we are talking razor-thin, like by about 100,000 votes at most.
It seemed like people learned that their votes matter more than just whatever they were doing before.
Yeah, that's one thing I'll say for this election. Turnout was not the issue.
No, turnout. This was the largest midterm turnout in our generation, if not in probably the last 50 years.
I think since 1966.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was... So obviously excluding Phil, who here did early voting? Did any of you guys do early voting, or did you wait until Tuesday?
I was supposed to, but I moved.
Oh, okay. So you just went Tuesday?
Yep.
Okay, so everybody who voted here went on Tuesday, I guess.
I had to drive all the fuck out to Nibley, Utah to do it.
Yeah, so did any of you guys experience any long lines?
I did not, the like 5 minutes after the very end of early voting ended, I did encounter people outside of our mall where early voting is, combing through the parking lot looking for people who are buying votes.
Wow.
What the shit?
Yeah.
This is Chicago we're talking about, so.
Yeah. Well, we're a lot different from Chicago. But the machine is still alive and well, don't get me wrong. But I apparently am extremely naive because I thought that that didn't happen in our rich-ass little fucking suburb.
Ah.
Yeah, apparently not. apparently that's, just a tale as old as time. Yeah. But I really was quite floored that that was happening.
All right, so Pat, what about you?
Well, I went down to Nibley, Utah to do it because that was where the website told me to go, which I just want to say smacks of voter suppression in and of itself because there was another precinct just a few blocks from my house.
Yeah.
But it's probably a good thing that I went to Nibley anyway because the lines were long, but they weren't epic.
Yeah.
And everyone that was down in Nibley who had earlier been to Logan said that Logan was a fucking zoo.
Wow.
So your mileage may vary, but that's the story I got.
All right. Chris, what about you?
I went about 2:30-ish. The church is like right near me, so less than a minute away. Pretty much no real issues.
Yeah.
But it's not like a huge area or anything. I just went in, parked, went in the building. And basically it was like just get them with the next person. The weird thing is computer stuff. So they basically have like blank cards. Mm-hmm. Like you verify your information. They put your information on it. And you go to the machine and plug it in to do your voting.
Yeah.
And you give it back when you're done.
Yeah. As for me, we had a line, but I probably waited about maybe 5 minutes. So it wasn't, like, terrible or anything. I usually end up voting where we, you know, the place where we vote, it's at the fire station, which is just down the road from where I live. And basically, you know, Georgia's voting is all pretty much all electronic. And before anyone brings up, yes, I know, we're going to get to that, I promise. But basically, like I said, ours is electronic. You basically go in. I had to show, of course, my photo ID.
You had to?
Well, I had to have some form of identification on me.
Are you fucking kidding? I don't understand why that's a thing.
Yeah, I got carded too.
It's Georgia. That's my answer to that. but anyway, point is, gave it there. I had to fill out a form. I had to give that form to another person. That person then checked that form. Then they sent me over to the person who actually gave me my ballot card. Which I then, you know, went over to the machine, inserted it, put in all my stuff. We do not have a vote straight party feature in our voting, which honestly is probably for the best.
Yes, I agree.
So
at least do the work yourself.
Yeah, I voted, of course, straight Democrat. I, of course, ended up voting straight Democrat, unless there was no Democrat candidate, in which case I just wrote in none of the above. But that was pretty much my election experience. And we'll get to in just a little while to the how that all came about, how that resulted in. But before we do that, as always, we have to talk about what we've been up to. So, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
Like pretty much everybody, we've been watching the spectacle of the midterms. Mm-hmm. That was a rough night. I'll tell you that much.
So, how was like the sort of overall Canadian mood as the midterms were ongoing? Were a lot of folks in Canada actually paying attention to that, or was it mostly just you?
Actually, quite a few people were paying attention to it, because apparently Donald Trump, not a big fan base up here.
No.
Shocking.
Yeah. So, you know, that was on a lot of people's minds, even though he technically wasn't on the ballot. He kind of, you know, sort of was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were just watching how all of that was going, watching the writings, watching that race in Texas for Senate. Jeez.
We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it.
But
not a fan of the finish, but that was an epic.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm trying to keep all that stuff in that section, because otherwise we'll be going on for hours. So.
So that was pretty fun for the most part. You know, it was... I'd hate to be the pollsters having to manage that circus over there, but hats off to them for that job.
Yeah, especially when there are like power outages and machines going down and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
or in one case where, you know, they had not hooked them up to a power source, or they were just running on battery. But we'll be getting to that.
I want to say one group got machines with no power cords.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's a problem.
We forgot the power cords.
Well.
I wonder if they were standardized, like computer power cords, or... Oh, no, these are proprietary.
Yeah, they're probably standard. Anyway. So I did that, and, I've still been doing my usual stuff of, listening to Dune. I'm almost about 10% left of that. Tetris Effect came out yesterday, so I've been playing shit out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great. That little demo was a nice taste of what the game offers, but the full version is much, much more expansive. A lot of good stuff in there, especially the effects modes. There's a lot of cool stuff in there, like modes where you have to clear the playfield like as quickly as possible. So
people need to quit fucking doubting Tetsuya Mizuguchi.
Yeah, seriously, like. He's nailed it with this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely on my GOTY list. That's for sure. And apart from that, well, I'm currently monitoring my GPU temperatures in the hopes that it doesn't melt down during the show. So, yeah, like I talked about it.
That's a thing.
Yeah, I was doing, we did a fan swap, and the fans are in there. They just don't turn. So that's kind of a problem. Yeah, just a little bit, yeah. Seeing as, like, all three of them don't work, I kind of get the sense that it's probably not the fans themselves, and that bore out when I hooked up the old harness with the original three fans. Like, those work. Of course, those are not, like, in the card, so that's not really very helpful. So, yeah, I'm going to have to, and my friend has some time probably tomorrow or the day after, going to come over and take the card apart again and switch out that harness for the replacement one and put the original one in with the replacement fans, and it should be good after that. So
here's hoping.
Yeah, either that or I'm going to need another video card very shortly. At the moment, it's the GPU temperature is 60 degrees Celsius. So, yay. That would be worrisome, except that this underload, this GPU would tend to go up to like 90. So there's still some headroom there. If it gets any higher than 80, though, I probably will have to cut off recording because it's like, this is a problem. But for now, we're good. So other than that, that's been pretty much it for me. How about you, Pat?
Politics, obviously. I've already spoken for the most part about my experience just heading down to the Nibley, Utah location after I got off work on Tuesday. And the lines were long, but they weren't incredible. And we heard horror stories from Logan. So that was kind of how that went. I do have to give a shout out to my home state for exceeding expectations. But there will be more on that as we go into that actual segment of the show.
Basically, all we can say is Mormons, stay in your fucking lane.
Yep. The church got a much needed thumb in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think it is just the first of many to come. There are whole generations of people here in Utah who are sick of the church trying to, level influence over state operations. And while past generations may have stood for it, not us. And so any opportunity that we can take to deny the church a seat at the table, you know, we're going to jump all over. And it's funny because I think if the church had stayed out of it, Prop 2 might not have passed.
Mm-hmm.
But
we'll be getting to that.
Yep. And other than that, I've just been doing some writing in preparation for some visual novel development that appears to be forthcoming. So stay tuned there.
All right. Awesome. Chris, what about you?
So I played, played the Red Dead Redemption 2 install game, which initially was just weird because it's the install bar on the PS4 kind of X'd out after like 20 minutes. And I was like, what? I just pulled it back out and put it back in. Then it finally started and I just had the little screen showing you with the progress. And I was like, I'll just leave it here, not breathe on this thing at all. And so I managed to get it started. That's as much as I've played. But yeah, I got that from Gamefly, so fuck you, Rockstar, for delaying this extra shit. As for games, I'm playing more Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I have gotten to the points that we saw in the E3 trailer with the Sinister Six sort of forming. And that's kind of where I'm at. So I'm in like the final like part of the game. Lots of side stuff just opened up, so I'm doing a lot of that, which is pretty neat and also chaotic because shit goes down and they blame Spider-Man for it. And now like it's whereas the city was kind of peaceful before, now it's kind of just chaos all over the place. So I'm looking forward to putting some more time into that, somehow trying to find time for it. Now with Red Dead Redemption 2, I got Tetris Effect, and I got Hitman 2 and Spyro next week, which I did not realize those are both the same week.
Yep, I'm getting that Tuesday as well.
And I thought Spyro was the 20th.
Nope, it's
okay.
13th.
Yeah, so I went to GameStop to trade in my last 3DS, the one with the weird shoulder buttons.
Yep.
For some money to fund the digital purchase of those things. Which initially the guy that was doing the trading was the store leader. And he was a pretty grumpy guy. he was initially like not happy that because I did the system transfer stuff. So it starts up on the, hey, tell us, you know, this information, that stuff. So he had to go through that. And he's like, you know, you don't have to do this when you're trading in. And I'm like, I did the transfer. It does it automatically. He's like, oh, like, just give me this lip about this. And then he's like, so what are you going to spend it on? I was like, I'm going to get some PSN cards to pre-order some games. You can avoid using your credit card and all that if you go physical. I was like, yeah, but I'm doing it for this deal. The pre-order, you get two games, and you get $15. Like, he's like, okay, well, I can't argue that.
He's just sitting there thinking, sir!
Yeah, it's like, I'm still spending $60 of money at your store. Shut up. It doesn't matter if it's physical or digital. You're still getting the money. There's just less of a chance of me bringing something back.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. I also took in a bunch of change to get the rest of the money I needed. Mm-hmm. I had like $56 worth of change.
Yep.
So I took that to a Coinstar, and which I take it in a Crown Royal bag I got from my grandma. So that's real weird holding this big bag of fucking change.
You know what?
That's better than what I usually do. I just get like one of those plastic shopping bags from Kroger.
Oh, God. A lot of people go into those Coinstars with Crown Royal bags.
Oh, then
you're
not
the only one.
All right. let's see. I've been watching a bunch of stuff. Parks and Rec. I'm in the 7th season now, which I was not expecting that they would just do a time jump. And it's a fake time jump because it's not fake. It's that it's set in 2017, but it wasn't 2017 when they did it.
Yeah.
So they're just making stuff up for what happened. So they're talking about Game of Thrones. Like, man, it's a series, season finale. Khaleesi is going to marry Jack Sparrow. This show got really weird. Like, oh, this is just some weird shit. I think they did predict the Cubs would win the World Series. But other than that, it's like all their stuff is weird. There's Grizzle now, which is their fake Twitter that wants to move their Midwestern headquarters into Pawnee. And yeah, it's still really good. But this final season's pretty short, so I'm looking forward to finishing that off and finding some new stuff to watch. I'm not sure what my like sitcom kind of thing would be. But I watched a new episode of Patriot Act, which is about Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Where Hasan Minhaj is talking about his addiction to Amazon. And sort of the whole idea of, you know, being woke, but also being a slave to convenience.
Yeah.
And sort of talking about how he knows he probably shouldn't use Amazon because of all the terrible working conditions and all that, and the business practices they use. And he goes through all of it, like how they, you know, make attempts to buy companies, but if they refuse, they will take very explicit measures to essentially lose money to try and ruin them and make them a lot cheaper to buy or put them out of business, whatever works. But also being aware of that, but still shopping to Amazon because it's a lot cheaper. And sort of a weird monopoly that isn't like officially a monopoly because there's still like value being provided to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And all that sort of stuff. You know, so I like stories about, you know, deleting a Uber app after all the shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
And going to Canada where there's no Lyft. Be like, oh shit. having to order an Uber and like, you know, be a slave to the convenience of using Uber.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all we had access to, that sort of stuff. It also kind of ends it with a little bit of political talk since it was leading up to the midterms.
Mm-hmm.
The shit that was going on in Georgia and all that.
We'll be getting to it, trust me.
But yeah, that show's real good for anybody that likes The Daily Show, Last Week Tonight, that sort of stuff. Hasan Minhaj does a really good job with that stuff. And that's been kind of it. Somebody told me that the S word is coming soon. I don't want to hear it. It's snow if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Lots of S words going around, and I hate those people.
You're Ohio?
Yes.
Yeah, you're screwed tomorrow night.
we've already got some, and we're going to continue to have some for the weekend. So
yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, tomorrow's fucking community day.
Yeah, today we had a good bit of rain, which luckily I missed most of it. But yeah, cold and rain is the worst of it all.
Yeah.
At least during the summer, it's you're like, oh, I'm wet, but it's sunny, so I'll dry off. When it's cold and wet, you're like, oh, I'm just miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, lots of rain, and I hate people.
All right. Hey, yeah. Well, all right then, Teresa.
I have been playing sad amounts of Super Mario Party, which is pretty good. I like some of the new shit that they've put in the game. I've got almost everything unlocked, so that's awesome. It really has a lot more than the previous games have had. While not being overbearing or total pain in the ass. So that's cool. We've been trying to finish off Voltron, and we're not quite there yet. Shit keeps getting in the way. we keep leaving at night, and it's really hard to, you know, sit down and watch stuff when you're not home.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting really damn good. Shiro has done what I knew he was going to do, and now I'm very interested to see how the rest of this shit plays out. And the whole thing with LOTOR went in a different way than I thought it was going to go, but I'm still making up my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we did a few condo repairs because our landlord lives all the way fucking downtown, so we don't call him out for anything. But we had, he had brought this handyman by, or had him come by and install a faucet and a new sprayer for our kitchen sink. And this is 3.5 years ago. He did the sprayer the wrong way, so we couldn't really pull it out. And I couldn't use half of the sink because whenever I put more than 4 ounces down the drain, it would overflow into the bottom of the sink. So we always had like a bucket under there, and there was this weird pressure valve or something. And I was told that it was because, well, there's 100 blah, blah, blah units. And if everybody flushes the toilet at the same time during the commercial at the Super Bowl, all of it will overflow into the kitchen sinks, which didn't make sense to me. So after 3.5 years, I finally took a picture and I asked Reddit, and they very quickly said, nah, this is the waste thing for a reverse osmosis system. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense, because some dude 10 years ago had one here. So, a few days later, I had some plugs, and I very happily shoved one in there today and then put all sorts of shit down the other side of that sink, and it was very cathartic. It's the little stuff, right?
Right.
It's the little stuff that gets on your fucking nerves, like the toilet not stopping running after you flush it.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I have been fucking freezing. It was so cold when I went out this evening to play Pokemon Go that my phone shut down.
Mm-hmm.
It just, like, stopped.
Nope.
And, you know, the wind chill is only, like, 10 right now, and I thought that my phone would hold up a little better until we got to negative 10 or negative 20, in which case I don't fucking care if there's a Sheik's raid. I ain't going out.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you need like a case that is somehow warmer.
I don't know how, because whenever I pogo like during the summer, it overheats. But
a better phone?
I've tried different phones. They do the same thing.
It should be like that Japanese guy that has like the setup where he uses 11 phones for Pokemon Go.
what is that, like the guy who's a 10-piece band all in one, and you know,
it looks like that, like it hooks up to his waist.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's got like 10 or 11 phones, like he's all on the same account, so he's like, he's really good to have in a raid.
Well, sure, because he's probably level 40 on all of them. But oh, and I did finally get to level 38. I wanted that to happen before the end of the year, so I absolutely met that personal little goal. But yeah, I'm going to continue to freeze my ass off, because as I was bitching earlier, tomorrow's community day. And it's gonna be fucking cold.
Winter, yay.
So yeah, it may be a community day that we do from the car for the most part. So, I hate to do that, but you gotta do what you gotta do. But that's it for me. Brandon, what have you been up to?
All right. Well, more than anything else, I've been playing Red Dead Redemption 2 still. I am now, I think, about midway through the game. I have ended up in a place called Saint-Denis, which I think is supposed to be this game's equivalent of New Orleans. So, you know, it's New Orleans and Red Dead. You can kind of imagine what that's going to be like. We've ended up getting into this, into the good graces of an Italian crime boss in the city named Angelo Bronte, and we're meeting up with high society folks and all that, and that's where I'm at right now. It's starting to become obvious that Dutch is starting to lose his mind a little bit. Arthur, the guy that I've been playing, you know, the guy who's the main character, I've started to notice that he starts coughing a little bit more than he should be. Just gonna go see where that goes, but I have an unfortunate feeling what it is. Other than that, I've of course been reading as usual. Lots of reading, and more than anything else, just getting used to the time change. It's a hell of a thing to have it suddenly be where it starts getting dark around, you know, 5 o'clock, 5:30. So,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's completely screwed up my body chemistry, and now I'm trying to figure, it's like, you know, I actually ended up sleeping in later than I usually do today, and, you know, it wasn't anything I'd planned or anything, it just happened, and I woke up, and I'm like, fuck! I'm gonna have to redo my schedule, but, that was pretty much it. So, we got anything else before we move on?
Yeah, I'd just like to report that my GPU is reporting that my fan is spinning at 750,000 RPM.
Mm-hmm.
It's not moving. Yeah, I think there's a problem with that harness. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. Well, with that, I believe we're going to move on to everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And since we're going to have a lot of stuff we're going to be going through today, I'm just going to have a nice little short one that is still in sort of the usual spirit of the type of thing we do on here. But it's something we can kind of get through kind of quickly and in and out because we got some shit to deal with. But it has to do with, the death penalty, specifically the history of the death penalty within colonial America. Now, of course, you know, death penalty has always been very controversial here in the U.S., even back then. And, of course, in some states, it's actually, you know, they abolished the death penalty, so you can only get life in prison. But in early colonial America, the average, if you were convicted of something that would get you death, normally you would die by hanging. Now,
cost effective.
Yeah. Now, the first person who was actually hanged in colonial America was a guy named John Billington, who was actually not only one of the first person to be hanged in colonial America, he was also one of the signers of the Mayflower Compact. But supposedly, for a murder of some guy named John Newcomb, but that's not the guy we're talking about today. No, it's not. The person we're talking isn't the first person, but he is one of the first people to be hanged in colonial America, specifically in the Plymouth Colony in 1642. And the interesting reason is not that he was executed, but why he was executed. Now, being that this was like colonial, you know, this was Plymouth, the colonial era, you'd probably think of something as like maybe it was murder or livestock rustling, maybe stealing cattle or, you know, hell, I mean, this was the era. Maybe he was convicted of witchcraft or something, right?
Yeah, somewhere along those lines.
Yeah, well, first of all, you need to know he was executed around 16 or 17 years old. And we have the... We have the reason, his actual reason, because he actually confessed his crimes to the local magistrate. And we actually still have the accounts of his confessions. They were put into the record, and you can actually find them. We have them now because the governor at the time, William Bradford, he had a diary at the time of Plymouth Plantation, 1620 to 1647, that was published. And we found out what it was that Thomas Granger was hung for. Thomas Granger, at the age of 16 or 17, was convicted of buggery with a mare, a cow, two goats, diverse sheep, two calves, and a turkey.
That was more than I was expecting, but I thought he was some sort of chicken fucker.
Yeah, surprisingly, the poultry is actually the outlier here.
So you're saying he had a harem?
Pretty much.
A mirror.
Harem he could eat afterwards.
You know, see, here's the thing, though. Considering,
good night, kids.
Yeah, considering I'm pretty sure these were other people's livestock, they probably ate them without the knowledge. So,
I yeah. That extra sauce.
Uh-huh. But basically, he confessed his crimes in court privately to the local magistrates, and when he was indicted, he confessed publicly to ministers and to the jury, where he was sentenced to death by hanging until he was dead. He was hanged by John Holmes, who was messenger of the court, on September 8, 1642. Then, after the...
I'm sure nobody protested his hanging.
Yeah. And then, just to put Chris's little jokes to rest... following the laws that were set down in the Book of Leviticus, the animals that were involved were slaughtered before his face and thrown into a large pit dug for their disposal so that no use could be made of any part of them.
So nobody actually... okay.
No. It's Leviticus 20:15, you know.
Yeah, then maybe the execution was a bit much.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Leviticus 20:15, it reads, "If a man shall lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast." So, that is one of the first people to ever be hung in colonial America. Specifically, the first person to be tried and convicted for buggery with an animal.
See, if the animals had ended up in the food supply, I could have understood.
Yeah. And that's been this week's Friends Random Factoid.
So I didn't follow up on that Pokemon Go thing I said.
Yeah.
It was a Taiwanese man. Mm-hmm. Those are on a bike.
Yeah.
So he has a bunch of stuff on his bike. Because they call him Uncle Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Because he learned about the game from his grandson, plays 20 hours straight before he runs out of battery power.
Mm-hmm.
He has, like, portable battery packs attached to them.
Mm.
So he can stay out late at night catching Pokemon Capital City, Taipei.
Taiwan.
Yep. And he spends about $1,300 a month on this.
Mm.
Jesus Christ.
But he says the game has helped him to make friends and to fend off Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah, well.
All right. I can go with that.
Pretty cool. Apparently he wasn't aware that people knew about him until one of the local news channels interviewed him, which says when he was only using 9 phones to play.
Only 9?
Now he's upgraded since then.
Yeah, Taiwan is very quickly turning into Chinese Japan. Like it really is. All right. So with that, we now have to start with the show proper, and unfortunately, we have to start with our asshole of the week because yet again we had another mass shooter.
Yep.
This happened in California. The Borderline Shooter.
Borderline Bar and Grill.
And Thousand Oaks.
Yep.
Yeah. Guy walked in with, I think it was a handgun?
Yeah, a pistol.
He was a Marine veteran, wasn't he?
Yep.
And he killed, how many people did he kill?
12. Yep.
Yeah, I got the
list somewhere, but one of these people is actually the niece of Tamara Mowry.
Mm-hmm.
And there's students, there's some older people, one of the cops, the first cop that went in got shot, killed. Mm-hmm. That's terrible shit. And there was a group in this bar that survived the Las Vegas shooting.
Well, he had survived the Las Vegas shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a group of people that had been through it. So
victims included a college student and a law enforcement officer. The shooter was a 28-year-old former Marine, Ian David Long, who often visited the place that would eventually become the scene of the crime. He had enfolded in Thousand Oaks, California, which, according to the mayor, is considered one of the safest cities in the country.
Yeah. He was in the Marine Corps, active duty for 5 years. Lived with his mother, and I guess his mother knew he was capable of something like this.
Yeah. Apparently this dude kind of had a bit of a history.
She's very afraid of him.
Yeah, he had a run-in with the law back in April, responding to disturbances at their home. He was irate and acting irrationally, said the Schuylkill sheriff in Ventura County. He was active duty for the Marine Corps from August 2008 to March 2013. Lived with his mom.
Did he ever have any run-ins while he was active?
I'm not sure if it says.
In April, officers responded to disturbance at his home.
Yeah, but that was in this year, so.
Yeah.
So it doesn't
look as much has been disclosed.
Yeah, he was divorced.
As far as he wasn't, dishonorably discharged.
Yeah. He ended up shooting himself in the end. And he was described, quote, as a very stable man.
Mm-hmm, right.
And it says, Mark Maid, one of Long's high school friends, told CNN, "The Ian I knew would not do this." Three other friends who declined to be identified also expressed surprise. One commented, "I don't know what the hell happened."
Yeah, that just means you don't know them.
Yeah.
The whole person.
And this whole thing went down less than 12 hours after the NRA blasted the medical professionals saying, mm-hmm. stay in your lane.
Yeah.
And they've been blasting back saying, it is our lane. We're the ones. Which, yeah.
If you've been online for the last couple of days and you've suddenly seen a bunch of doctors and medical personnel suddenly talk about it, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's some really hard to watch videos of. There's one guy that managed to get his son out of there with mm-hmm. himself. They were at the door, but the shooter took the other direction in. So they turned away, and they both managed to get out as the shooting was going on.
Mm-hmm.
He very much had survivor's grief.
Yeah.
I could have gone in and saved other people. You know, I'm 55. These are all kids. You know, that sort of stuff. It's like, no, you did everything you could. Yeah, he'll probably be in therapy for a while.
Yeah.
Come to terms with that.
Mm. But once again, and of course, yes, the NRA came out and blamed California for their gun laws because that's what they
do. If there were more guns, it could have been solved. Mm-hmm. Like, no, cop went in and got killed.
Yeah.
People that are supposedly trained for these sorts of situations was not enough.
Yeah. But we do have some good news to talk about for this week because as our hero of the week, let me get this up here. It is federal judge. Let's see. It is
Brian Morris.
Federal judge Brian Morris, who this week blocked the construction of the Keystone Pipeline.
Yep. Trump is obviously not happy.
Of course he isn't.
Thinks it's a political decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's a political decision made by a judge. I think it's a disgrace. 48,000 jobs. I approved it. It's ready to start.
Yeah, like you're so fucking important. We don't give a shit about what you approved.
Yeah. The whole thing is that he found the U.S. government's use of a 2014 environmental review to justify issuing a presidential permit for construction of the cross-border pipeline violated the National Environmental Policy Act,
mm-hmm.
the Endangered Species Act, and the Administrative Procedure Act.
Mm-hmm.
The court enjoins federal defendants and TransCanada from engaging in any activity in furtherance of the construction or operation of Keystone and associated facilities. Mm-hmm. So the department has completed a supplement to the 2014 supplemental environmental impact statement that complies with the requirements of the NEPA and the APA.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Nobody asked for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
It's already caused big issues when they've spilled oil from it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to be pulling shit out of oil sands when we have this great big ball of fire raining down energy on us.
Yeah.
Didn't part of it, like, explode at one point?
Yeah. We covered it.
Yeah.
Yep. All
you
right.
guys realize, like, back in fucking 1980, Reagan tore down the solar panels off the White House. This is how long we've been fighting this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, the solar panels in 1980 probably would have been enough to charge a battery, like a AAA.
Probably, so, but they were something. You know?
Yeah. It take it
and
a
if they had stayed up and they had done more research,
Okay, folks. That's the end of the show of the show proper. Now it's time for the proper show proper. And here we go. All right. Midterms 2018.
Do we kind of want to go how our local stuff went in each of our states?
We'll get to that, okay. But let's go over the main stuff first.
Yeah.
All right. So first, the good. The Democrats have retaken the House of Representatives.
Yep.
They have gotten it possibly, they have gained possibly as many as 40 seats. We don't know quite yet because, again, some of the votes are still being counted for some of these elections.
Some are just close enough to cause, like, runoff elections and stuff.
Yeah. Which, number one, shows, like we said, the turnout for the midterms is pretty much the highest since 1966. So, at least, like, a freaking... from, like, before the midterms actually started, as many as, I think it was, like, 3 million Americans had already done early voting. So, that's a pretty significant margin for a country of about 300 million people.
I heard some places had more votes in the early voting than they had the entirety of the 2016 election.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah, I believe it, too.
That's fucking ridiculous.
All right, so, like I said, Democrats, they now have as many as 40 seats gained in the House, giving them the majority and control of the House of Representatives. Among other things, that means that Maxine Waters is going to be part of the Commerce Committee, which means she can subpoena the fuck out of Trump's tax returns, and there ain't a goddamn thing he can do about it.
Yep, she's...
Except tweet angrily.
Yeah. Shit post.
Yeah,
we got Adam Schiff is probably going to be the head of the House Intelligence Committee instead of Devin Nunes.
Yeah.
No longer has a job.
Yep. So other than that, we also have the youngest woman ever elected to Congress for a House of Representatives.
Well, what? The Democrats are starting to talk about the things they're going to be doing.
Yeah. Yep.
I think they're going to be doing the subpoena of the tax returns. Jump-starting the investigation into the Russian interference stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what else is in there. Oh, yeah, there's going to be a nuclear... They're going to try to put up a bill to block the nuclear arms deal that Trump is planning with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they got a lot of things in the fire that we're waiting on.
Yeah. So, Amongst that, we now have the youngest woman ever elected to Congress, which is Ocasio-Cortez. Won a House seat. She is the youngest to ever, like I said, youngest woman ever elected to Congress. Also, she has pointed out that being a working class individual, it's kind of expensive to move from New York to D.C.
She can't do it until she actually takes office.
Yeah,
and she's basically said, you know, she's had a fund she's been putting in as she finished up her work and getting ready for the election, and that her and her significant other are sort of just trying to be as cheap as possible until they start getting their pay in and be able to move down permanently. But yeah, she is one of two women that got voted in that are 29.
Yep.
I think she's a little bit younger than the other one.
Yeah. And she's also the first, like, avowed actual, like, Marxist to actually be elected to the House of Representatives in decades.
Yep.
She's probably more socialist than Bernie Sanders is.
Yep.
So that's
yeah, she ran on a campaign.
And this
of,
is only the beginning.
Yep.
Medicare for all, you know, ban ICE. Do all this sort of stuff.
Medicare for all, ban ICE.
Which I think was a common thing that a lot of the Democrats that won were very much left-leaning, not moderates.
Yeah.
Trying to court Republicans.
Basically, the 2016 election and Bernie Sanders basically dragged the Democratic Party kicking and screaming over back over to the center-left. So,
yeah, have less people like Joe Manchin. Still won his election, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the other guy that's lost? Donnelly?
Mm-hmm.
It was very much like the interested in working on the birthright stuff. He lost his job.
Yep.
It's like if they want a people with Republican ideals, they'll vote for the Republicans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so let's see. There she did. So other also Florida, the state of Florida voted to restore voting rights to ex-felons, which means about 1.9 million people now have their voting rights back in Georgia and Florida.
Yep. A little bit late, but they'll be able to get those people ready for next time.
Yep.
Yeah, for 2020.
Yep. Oh, God.
Which, the weird thing is, this shows how messed up the whole thing is, because this is a very Democratic thing.
Yeah.
But they voted for at least right now, they voted for a governor who is against this.
Again, like we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
But it's like the whole thing of like a lot of things that Democrats run on are things that are generally popular.
Yeah.
Platforms, but for whatever reason, they don't vote for the people that have them.
Yeah.
Voting gets their own benefits, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Next up, Michigan legalized recreational marijuana.
Yes, they did.
Which makes them state number what?
Nine?
At this point. Yes, yeah, state number nine.
Like one of like 30 that have at least some form of legalized marijuana.
I am absolutely convinced that this shit's only going to come legal once it like goes finally all 50 states.
Once like everybody's like, okay, we're ready.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, it's going to happen quicker than you think.
Yeah. I certainly hope so.
Well, I mean, you're Canadian, dude. You can literally just go out and buy it now if you want to.
Yeah, I literally can. I actually went.
Well, think about when we were kids watching the anti-weed on TV. And, like, say, okay.
Oh, God, you can watch all that stuff on later. Yeah, you can. That stuff is going to be amazing to watch for the future generations.
It's like when we go look back and realize there was actual cocaine in Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Well, like, watching, like, old footage of, like, temperance rallies and shit from, like, the 1920s.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty amazing. Next up, Governor Scott Walker, Wisconsin, is now ex-governor. He has lost, and guess what? He can't even ask for a recount. Yeah, and he can't even ask for a recount because of the law he himself helped pass.
Yep, I think the law is if you lose by more than 1%, you cannot ask for a recount. You lose by 1.2%.
Yeah.
So get fucked, Scott Walker.
Yep. Yeah, gonna might need to pretty yourself up because you're going to be doing a lot of cocksucking.
He probably made more than enough money.
Well, yeah. Coke sucking, I should say. Yeah. Just go away, you piece of bourgeois slime. But, but of course, on top of what happened with Ocasio-Cortez...
Do you want to give the backstory on this one?
On Scott Walker?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was mostly Foxconn.
Yeah, because they wanted to open a plant in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Walker and even Trump bent over backwards to try and make a whole bunch of tax benefits happen for him to make it happen.
And it didn't happen.
Thinking it was going to lead to a bunch of jobs in the state of Wisconsin and lead to a, you know, a windfall of votes. Then Foxconn gets their plant and decides they're going to relocate existing rank and file to it to operate it, and thereby pissing off Walker's entire constituency.
Yep.
Oh, those new jobs aren't really new jobs.
So that is now ex-Governor Scott Walker. He is out of a job. He will he will be out of a job come January, I guess. But all right. So with that, now we have a bunch of historic firsts, because on top of having the two youngest women ever, Ocasio-Cortez slightly being the first, we also got first Native American. Let's just read some of these off.
Yeah. So we had our first Muslim women in Congress.
Two.
Sheeda Tlaib and Ilhan Omar.
Mm-hmm.
From Michigan and Minnesota.
One of them even wears a turban.
Yep. And yeah, both ran on very progressive policies. So yeah. Hey, screw that. Let's see. Deb Haaland and Charisse Davids are the first Native American women elected to Congress. So great stuff there. That's from, let's see, New Mexico, Haaland.
Yep.
And let's see the other one. Kansas. Davis is from Kansas. And the first openly LGBT woman of color in Congress. Yeah. Ocasio-Cortez and Abby Finkenauer, the youngest women ever elected to Congress. Ocasio turned 29 this past October. Abby turned 29 last December. She came from Iowa. So we know Ocasio-Cortez took down Joe Crowley, who was potentially going to be a successor for Nancy Pelosi.
Yep.
Which that'll be interesting to see who's going to be the House Speaker.
It's going to be Nancy.
Yeah,
it's Pelosi.
I think they need some younger people.
We think they need some younger people, but what we think and what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they should be putting the Democrats as the party of the young people.
Yeah.
Because they're taking over.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we had Ayanna Pressley, Massachusetts' first black congresswoman.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Jared Polis, the first openly gay man elected governor in the U.S. That's Colorado.
Yep.
Which, weren't they fairly recently a very bad spot for LGBT?
Yes, they were.
So they've certainly turned it around. Maybe the weed helped.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, we have Lou Leon Guerrero, the first woman governor of Guam.
Mm-hmm.
Veronica Escobar and Sylvia Garcia, Texas's first two Latina congresswomen. Let's see. Yeah, state senator for Garcia, or no?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. Both are Democrats. Angie Craig is the first openly lesbian mother in Congress. Openly LGBT member of Congress from Minnesota as well. Marsha Blackburn's the first woman elected to Senate in Tennessee. She is Republican.
And a hardcore Trumper, so... Yep.
But still, more women, the better.
Yeah.
Because we had, record numbers of women running for Congress this time around?
Yeah, and I think a record number winning, too.
Yep. They won most of the time, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Johanna Hayes is Connecticut's first black congresswoman.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's see, Young Kim is the first Korean-American woman in Congress. She comes from California.
And she is also a conservative Republican.
Yep. She immigrated from the U.S. to South Korea in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
Also came from Guam and Hawaii before moving to California.
Yeah.
Kristi Noem, South Dakota's first woman governor. Republican. See, Janet Mills is Maine's first woman governor.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a Democrat.
She is taking over from Paula Page.
Who was a human dumpster fire.
Yep.
He repeatedly made racist statements and then had to apologize for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kept doing it over again.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I believe they're a fairly Democrat state.
Yeah.
Like, how the hell did this guy get elected?
I think he actually got elected on a technicality, if I remember.
That's probably right. But yeah, that's a good first.
All right.
They just become the norm.
And, of course, we'll go ahead and do this now. Yes, a lot of good state measures passed, and we'll start with Utah. So
yes. So as of right now, it looks like 2, 3, and 4 ran the table.
Mm-hmm.
4 is still a little bit up in the air, and that's an important one. It looks like that one's going to go down to the wire, though.
So what are those measures?
So Prop 2 is medical marijuana.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's really no different than a lot of medical marijuana bills that have been going around the country, but this one is interesting because the LDS Church weighed in and basically voiced its opposition, which in and of itself should be a no-no.
Yeah.
And then sort of helped themselves to a seat at the bargaining table and said, look, we don't need Prop 2. We're going to work out a compromise to get medical marijuana in the state of Utah for people who genuinely need it.
And then the people of Utah
said, go fuck yourself. The medical marijuana legalization will be administered rectally, and you do not get a seat at the table.
Yeah.
And thereby, Prop 2 has passed. Overwhelmingly so, when you consider that the church took a stand against it. But that needs to be a sign of things to come in Utah.
Oh, by the way, wasn't Mitt Romney elected governor or senator?
No, he got Orrin Hatch's seat.
Ah.
So Orrin Hatch retiring, certainly old enough to do so.
yeah.
I mean, he's been Utah senator longer than I've been alive, I think.
Yeah.
So, we knew it was coming. Mitt Romney is a Utah senator now, or at least he will be, when the next Congress convenes. Prop 3 is a Medicaid expansion.
Mm-hmm.
So, fairly standard stuff there. It's good to see it pass. Prop 4 is the interesting one.
Yeah.
The jury's still out on it. It's within, it's living in the margin for error right now. With about, I think, 96% reporting. That is an anti-gerrymandering proposition.
Yeah.
That would put all of the districting in the hands of an independent commission.
Mm-hmm.
Involving 3 Democrats, 3 Republicans, and 1 unaffiliated.
Mm.
And I've been watching this one closely since it got on the ballot. And this will tell you just how insular the conservatism in the state of Utah is, because there is no there's no attempt to hide intentions here. There are people who voted no on 4 because it would give the Democrats more of a chance to be competitive in Utah.
Yeah.
There are people in this state who want the majority to have a chance to protect their status as the majority.
Mm-hmm.
Nakedly so. And let me take a look at the numbers real quick.
Yeah, I should point out that bills like this are actually starting to, gain some traction. PA passed one not long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, right now, I think about 96% reporting. Prop 4 is ahead by less than 5,000 votes out of nearly 1 million cast.
Mm.
So this one is going to come down to the wire.
Yeah. Also, there was a House election that looked like it.
Yep.
Utah House 4.
Yeah, District 4. It is the U.S. House of Representatives. I sort of typed that in badly, but the Congressional District 4. Salt Lake County Mayor Ben McAdams looks to have won against incumbent Mia Love,
mm-hmm.
Who was I can't remember where she was mayor before she went on to Congress, but McAdams is ahead by roughly 5,000 votes out of a total of over 200,000.
Mm.
So they're probably really close to calling that.
Yeah.
So by all means, it looks like a U.S. House district in Utah has gone blue. And if Prop 4 passes, that sets us up for a very interesting 2020.
Yeah. I think Michigan also approved an anti-gerrymandering law, didn't they?
I'm not sure.
Or was it Massachusetts? It was one of them.
I think we'll get through it as we look down this list.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess I'll go ahead and do mine from here in Georgia. We had 7 on the ballot, 5 amendments and 2 referendums, all of which passed. The first was Amendment 1, which was going to create a land conservation trust fund, which would be funded with 70, which be funded by 0.75% of revenue from sales and use taxes on outdoor recreational equipment. That passed. Second, creates a business court and establishes procedures and rules for judicial selection, term, length, and qualifications. That also passed. Amendment 3, which revises the method for determining market value of forest land and creates a timberland property class. We kind of needed that one. The big one was Amendment 4, adds rights of crime victims to the state constitution. That was the big one, and it also passed with very flying colors. And finally, education allows a school district or multiple districts with a majority of students within a county to call for a county sales tax referendum. And then we had two actual referendums up on the ballot, one which provided for a municipal property tax exemption within certain cities, and one that applies existing tax exemption for nonprofit housing for mentally disabled people to business finance property. So those were the big ones in our state, and they all passed. All right, so who wants to go next?
Well, we did not have a ton to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
We had the main one was an amendment that would lower the sentences for minor drug offenses,
mm-hmm.
and to keep those people out of prison or jail using that money, and using that money for more rehab stuff,
mm-hmm.
basically funding that stuff, which Democrats pretty much were in support of that.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans not, and like most everything in the state, I went Republican, so no, got denied.
Yeah.
Not great, and I think the only other thing was like a tax levy for a local thing, but which I don't know how that went. It's kind of hard to find that local stuff. It's all just about like House and Senate stuff, so like, I don't know.
Mm.
But it was like a very, very small increase, like 0.22 per $100.
Mm.
It's like very minor stuff for the local library.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I voted for that. It's like, yeah, sure. It's basically yeah. nothing.
And, okay, Teresa, what about you?
Well, we did get Pritzker in as a Democratic governor.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be great to see Rahner go on. Pritzker's not my guy, but I'll take him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing the Nazi lost.
Oh, well.
Didn't he get like 50,000 votes or something?
He got something like 30 or 40,000 votes. Ooh. Right fucking after the synagogue massacre.
Yeah.
I cannot.
That's fucking terrifying.
That sounds awful, but keep in mind, remember in the Blues Brothers when they were talking about Illinois Nazis?
Mm-hmm.
There are Illinois Nazis.
Yeah.
So they got about 25% of the vote.
Yeah. Well,
also, I wouldn't be surprised if some people who voted for him, the only reason they voted for him was because he had an R next to his name. Yep.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly the problem.
Anyone who hit straight R on the top of the ballot voted mm-hmm. for him.
I really should have said R, comma Nazi.
Yeah.
We had some shitty shit in ours where we had one Republican and then we had one running as a conservative. Just uh-huh. because he didn't get the Republican nomination, so he decided to run as conservative, even though he's a fucking Republican.
Yeah, and that's how you fuck over your own side, really.
Yeah, it is, but...
Yeah, I'm looking at our governor race.
Thank you for playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it didn't really foil anything, but we had a third party. I got about 2.9% of it, which would have gotten it to, let's see, about 49% for Cordray versus Mike DeWine, who got 50.7. Still pretty close, but
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we had some shitty propositions. They were worded really bad. Mm-hmm. Like, shall the county oppose the General Assembly, blah, 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 raising property taxes by 1% each year for the next 30 years. And if people didn't read the word oppose, everybody was really concerned that they would fuck up. Mm. And then shall the county propose or oppose the vehicle motor tax, which was fucking nuts. It taxed you like 14 cents per mile driven. Thankfully those aren't going through anyway. So apparently people were paying attention. We flipped a lot of shit in my county, blue, which was grand, which is really good. So, you know, locally good turnouts.
Mm-hmm. All right. And now for, the bad part of 28.
Well, do we want to go over the good measures that passed?
Like, oh yeah, sure. Go ahead briefly.
So yeah, let's see. They mixed all of them in together, so it'll be a little bit tough here, but...
Go ahead.
Let's see, we had, Florida passed the Amendment 4, which is the felons.
Mm-hmm.
A number approved statewide measures to establish new redistricting systems. Mm-hmm. Colorado, Michigan, Missouri, and Utah.
Knew it was Michigan.
Yep. So those will be doing some new things. Colorado has...
So they're saying the 4 passed here.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying it's a done... Cool.
At least it seems like it. Some of the stuff they very much say...
Everywhere like, I've looked has refused to call it, so that's encouraging.
At least that's the way they have it here. I don't think they've updated, but Colorado gets a new 12-member independent redistricting commission, so mm-hmm. that state legislature draw district maps.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan gets 13 and provide criteria for that stuff. Some people voted for photo ID stuff to be part of their amendments. Arkansas, mm-hmm. North Carolina, so fuck them. Marijuana got improvements in a number of states. Michigan made its recreationally fine. Missouri had 3 competing measures with different taxes
mm-hmm.
attached to them, which seems really weird and a good way to confuse people. There's like a 2% tax with revenue spent on veteran services, drug treatment, and education and law enforcement. 15% with revenue spent on biomedical research institute. And a 4% tax with revenue to spend on healthcare services for veterans. They don't really say the outcome of that one.
Mm.
And there's a couple of these that are like that, but let's see. Arkansas approved the minimum wage hike to $11 by 2021, Missouri to $12 by 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Medicare expansion in Idaho, Utah, and Nebraska.
Mm.
That was Prop 3 here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Montana decided not to.
Mm.
So.
Huh.
Yep. Which might just be how things were worded and all that, which is why I ended up just looking up all the issues on Ballotpedia for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is who, you know, was in support of it, this is who was against it, all this sort of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Made it a lot easier. Let's see. Florida passed Amendment 13, which creates prohibition on racing or betting on greyhounds or other mm-hmm. dogs by 2021. So I was like, oh, there's a lot more dogs that need new homes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not being used for this shit. More than 70% of Alabama voters approved an amendment to the state constitution authorizing display of the Ten Commandments on state and public property.
This is Alabama, you said?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Of course.
Yeah. Some not so great stuff, but it's a lot of good happening.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's going to be a hell of a lawsuit about that anyway.
Yeah, I think federal law is going to trump that one. So
there's like a number of places that put their own version of the Marcy Law
mm-hmm.
into effect, which is not great. But yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, and now for the bad stuff. First things first, probably the biggest hit of the night, Ted Cruz barely managed to hold on to his Senate seat.
That was really the nail-biter of the night, too.
Yeah. because it looked like for a while Beto was going to beat him, and then Ted was beating him, and then it was tied, and then ultimately Ted ended up winning by like 2 points.
Yeah,
in Texas.
Yeah. And did you? Yeah, like what kind of festering pustule do you have to be to nearly lose a senatorial race in Texas as a Republican?
Yeah,
you almost lose it.
I'm going to call. I'm going to call it. We're probably going to hear shenanigans very shortly.
And, also,
did anyone else see Cruz during his victory speech?
No.
I think he was actually on coke.
He looked like he had just taken the first shit in 6 months.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Like he, it was relief that defies description.
Yeah.
But that loss was not entirely bad because how competitive Beto O'Rourke was. Yeah. A lot of the House seats flipped over.
And I would not be surprised if we're going to see Beto again.
Yeah, in on the national stage, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, very much he's a part of the party for the future.
If he's in the presidential race and he's the Texan in the presidential race, stay tuned.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to get really interesting.
Yeah. In other bad news, the racist shitbag Steve King still managed to keep his Senate seat in Iowa.
Barely.
Although, funny enough,
because you can set your watch by him.
Yeah, well, actually, isn't he with the House of Representatives and not a senator?
I guess he is.
Yeah. For the record, he was the only Republican to keep his seat in Iowa. All the other ones went blue.
Yeah, and he won his by about 10,000 votes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, point out that in 2020, you're going to see a lot more Republican seats up for re-election.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it was the majority of them were a bunch of Democrats in the Senate. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
The interesting thing was sort of coming down the pipe. Steve King was doing more racist stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Of course he was.
Even had a big press conference where the media was, or somebody was asking him, you know, are you a white nationalist? And instead of saying no, he got very offended and threatened to leave.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not how, it's not in the white nationalist playbook. You're supposed to say no. Of course.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Here we are finally, my home state of Georgia. Because
the one above that.
Oh, yeah, Alabama. The voters of Alabama approved an anti-abortion amendment. Here's the weird thing, though. The amendment is so vague that not only could it possibly criminalize abortion, it could also be used to criminalize birth control in general.
Yeah. There's something similar in West Virginia that was passed.
Mm-hmm.
This one's the more severe of it because it basically makes no exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Exceptions for like incest, rape, or anything that would threaten the life of the mother.
Yeah, this is Alabama, so give
it basically
about
a
year.
Waiting for potentially Roe v. Wade to get turned over.
First of all, to do that, they have to go through another case first, and that one basically reaffirms Roe v. Wade as precedent. So. Yeah. They would have to do something really drastic to get through that.
Yeah, so. But they have it sitting there just in case.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, here it is, my home state of Georgia. Because the Republican candidate for governor, Brian Kemp, was also Secretary of State, his interference and very obvious naked attempts at cheating means that they're still counting votes. There may be a recount. It may even go into a runoff.
Yeah, their Stacey Abrams' camp is looking at legal options.
Yeah,
and essentially they want to get. Yeah, at the very least, they think there's enough votes to get Kemp under 50%, which would push a runoff on December 4th.
Yeah,
which would probably be a pretty good time for Stacey Abrams.
Yeah, and Kemp, for his part, has already resigned from his position as Secretary of State because he basically is assuming that he's going to win.
Yeah.
And he even declared victory. But, of course, Abrams has not conceded, nor should she.
He still got provisional ballots had to be counted.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people had to fill out paper ballots due to power outages and stuff like that. So yeah, lots of just bullshit going on.
Yeah. And then, of course, we got the two big races in Florida for Senate and governor. Ron DeSantis is still barely leading Gillum in the votes, but the votes are still being counted, and it looks like it might also go on a runoff.
Yep. And there's just legal stuff going on. A judge had to tell the people in Broward County, I think it is.
Yeah.
Basically, like, get your shit together.
Yeah.
Get stuff done.
Apparently, they found like a box of, I think it was provisional ballots that were just sitting around.
Yeah. And I know there are people that work in Florida, like, recruiting helpers to go through these ballots.
Yeah. And then the Senate race, which is between Bill Nelson and Rick Scott, looks like it's going to go into recount. And in fact, Bill Nelson is actually filing suit because Rick Scott is trying – they're trying to use the antiquated mismatching signatures rule to discount ballots.
Yep, and the recount is automatically triggered when they are below 0.5%, which is where it stands. So, yeah. Florida makes nothing easy.
I don't know what... what the fuck is wrong with Florida?
They got Florida men running things.
I walked right into that one, didn't I?
Florida men.
All right, so that's basically our news for the 2018 midterms. Now set yourself up for 2020 because I have a feeling it's going to make – I have a feeling it's going to make the midterms like fucking 2012. it's going to – 2020 is going to legit be insane.
Yeah.
Like I am legit predicting that – there is going to be some serious upheaval in both the House and the Senate, and the Republicans, as desperate as they get, are going to really try and pull some awful shit. And some of it ain't going to compare to this year. So. All right, so that's our 2018 news, and now on to the other main news. So our first story.
You guys ever tried to stand up and immediately realize that you're not as sober as you thought you were?
Yeah.
I love that feeling.
all right, so first story of the night. Jeff Sessions is no longer Attorney General.
Yay.
But he did one asshole thing before he left, because of course he did.
Yep, so his final act before leaving the Justice Department was to sign a memo which, quote, drastically limited the ability of federal law enforcement officials to use court-enforced agreements to overhaul local police departments accused of abuses and civil rights violations.
Because he's just that much of an asshole.
Which is what Obama put into action as, you know, things like what happened in Chicago, Ferguson, and Baltimore happened during his tenure.
Yep.
So places where there was no way this was going to fix itself.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to step in.
And the guy who's currently taking over for him temporarily is, I think his name's Matthew Whitaker.
Yep, mm-hmm. Who's supposed to be just a Trump stooge.
Mm-hmm.
Attended to shield him from whatever Robert Mueller might be working on.
Speaking of which, we're supposed to be hearing something big from that very soon. So,
yeah. Which, like, all this stuff happening with Sessions prompted a lot of protest.
Yeah, basically, Mueller wanted to wait until after the midterms were over, so it wouldn't be like a political ploy.
Which is the general thing you're supposed to do with politics, but...
Yeah.
People in charge don't know how to shut up.
And then the next one. Jim Acosta from CNN has had his press pass suspended from the White House.
Yeah, so there was the whole press conference that Trump had on Wednesday, which was crazy.
Was that a press conference or a temper tantrum? I couldn't really tell.
Well, the media was
there. Difference anymore?
Mm. Yeah, he's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
He was pacing all over the place.
Yep.
Anytime anybody that he was not interested in looking at was talking, and Jim Acosta came up to talk about What was he talking about?
Just talking about the caravan.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The caravan, like...
Which, by the way, you've noticed they've suddenly stopped talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, you remember the tax break we were supposed to get for the midterms? Which never happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, Trump basically denied whatever he was saying. Jim Acosta tried to do a follow-up question. He just got upset at him. Did the whole outburst calling him fake news, you're the enemy of the people.
Wasn't there, like, I'm pretty sure there was, like, a White House staffer who tried to snatch the microphone away from him?
There was an intern that came over, tried to rip it out of his hands, and he just said, hey, hold on, stop.
And then she healed.
Yeah, she stopped, and she's like, she had no idea what to do. She was very afraid of whatever was going to happen.
Well, and then Huckabee Sanders releases that clearly doctored
You know where that video
thing.
Came?
Yeah, it came from InfoWars.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Paul Watson, or Paul Joseph Watson.
Yep, Paul Joseph Watson.
On that note, I have to chime in with a fantastic Hard Times piece that just shows a picture of Huckabee Sanders with the headline, D&D party member with minus three charisma keeps trying to fucking roll deception.
Nice.
Yeah, so...
I love the Hard Times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and very much a lot of people, you know, conveniently on the rights were screaming assault.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's not assault, you fucking idiots.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't know that because what just happened, you know, a month ago with Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know exactly what assault is or anything like that because they don't support women.
Speaking of which, unfortunately, Dr. Ford is still getting threats because of that.
She's had to move four times.
Yeah, and she's been forced to hire private security. So,
yep. So she's. This is why women don't come forward, especially against people that are in the public eye.
Yeah.
They fear.
This.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, she has money.
Mm-hmm.
From retail or real estate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she also hasn't been able to.
I was going to say, retail is money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has some real estate stuff that she can lean on.
All back so. On. Yeah.
But yeah, she hasn't been able to go back to her job. They don't know when that might happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
A hot minute.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now for some good news. The Dreamers, DACA. The Federal Appeals Court has ruled that the Trump administration's their push to end DACA has been blocked.
Yep. Let's see. Yeah, they ruled that Trump elect. Or no, that's from January. Basically, that's. The decision leaves the. Let's see. Yeah, basically, that's. You know, they were very much. Racially motivated to do this stuff, and that's not how you end this sort of program.
Yeah,
and they have not provided any non-biased reasoning for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like something that very well could end up going to the Supreme Court and eventually going their way.
Yeah. Considering that Kavanaugh is a justice now, it can kind of go either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like, wait, Kavanaugh's... No, look at some of the recent things they've done. Kavanaugh has actually managed to surprise people.
And Roberts is a lot more of a wild card himself than Bush thought he was.
Yeah, so... let's see.
Yeah, we survived a scare with the RBG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who fell.
And broke a couple of ribs.
Yeah.
She's out of the hospital now.
With her.
Yeah.
Though I also saw probably one of the reasons why, because they took the pictures of his first day. Mm-hmm. She's obviously not there.
Yep.
So she took a fall to get out. which
Oof.
I think anybody's, you know, feels for her.
All right. Well, next up, I guess I'm not sure if this is in response to the former, but the administration is now seeking to limit asylum seekers with a new rule.
This is caravan related.
Yeah. Now, Do folks know how Asylum works?
Probably should explain a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so basically when immigrants come up to our borders, usually there'll be some spot where we have Border Patrol that are letting people in. They get, you know, processed and are at some point brought up to the immigration courts to, you know, plead their case for why they should be granted asylum from whatever their home country is.
And a reminder, you actually have to step over the border onto the soil of the country you want to claim asylum for in order to do this.
Yeah.
Yep, and...
I point that out because a lot of really stupid people who think they're really smart do not realize that.
Yep. And the nice thing is that Jeff Sessions is no longer in charge of the immigration courts.
Yep.
Since he's no longer...
Well, what do we know about the guy we got now?
Not much. He's very much a Trump lackey.
Yeah. So we'll just have to see.
Yep. This measure is designed to prohibit migrants who cross the border outside of designated entry points from seeking asylum in the United States, which is not how it works.
No.
Federal law allows anyone on U.S. soil to petition for asylum, even if that person crossed the border illegally. The ACLU has filed suits in federal court in San Francisco. The administration responded to this lawsuit in a joint statement released by email by Departments of Justice and Homeland Security. In fact, the ACLU and its partners would go to court to specifically sue for the right for aliens to enter the country illegally is demonstrative of the open border community's disdain for our nation's laws that almost all rational Americans find appalling. No, just people like you.
Like I said, a lot of really stupid people who think they're really, really smart.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. But, so... Yes,
we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Also, we got some Olympic news. The U.S. Olympic Committee is going to be shutting down the USA Gymnastics program.
Well, there's nothing left of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a dumpster fire that I think has burned itself out at this point.
Yeah, and I'm going to guess this has to do with, what's his name?
Nasser.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Basically, they've been hemorrhaging money as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so they're going to handle it, I think, directly for now.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually set up a new organization that will hopefully be free of shitty people.
Yeah.
I say just purge it and just rebuild.
Yep.
Just start from scratch.
Salt the soil.
Make sure nothing can grow there ever again.
Yeah.
And then we got Amazon. They are getting ready to start their second headquarters, HQ2, and they're planning on splitting it between New York City and Virginia.
Yeah, so this is how they get around picking one city.
Yep.
So, hey, we'll just do two. And it's two that we already have a presence in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just so happens we have big distribution centers there.
Yeah.
Imagine
that. The first one is in the Long Island City neighborhood of Queens, New York. Second is Crystal City area of Arlington, Virginia. Both of which already have a lot of Amazon workers there.
Yep.
So the new jobs, probably not as many as they would like. And
probably.
The city's probably jumped through lots of hoops, gave them all sorts of benefits and such.
Backs.
Yep, and made it really easy to say, yeah, guess what? You're both winners.
Mm-hmm.
And we win all because you don't have to pay taxes or whatever ridiculous stuff.
And in other news, Jeff Bezos is snorting coke on top of a pile of gold. So
it was weird watching the Patriot Act episode about it because I got to see Jeff Bezos with hair.
Mm-hmm.
And doing
that just belly. Had to look weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when it was like it was a board meeting with early Amazon of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Where he had hair and he asked somebody to demonstrate Taco Bell for him. As in, he had somebody eat some Taco Bell in front of him. He's like, oh, that looks pretty good. I was like, you could have fucking eaten like a normal human being.
You could do that yourself, you know?
Yeah.
You put it in your mouth and if nothing comes out the other side,
it will. Spoiler alert.
Totally will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is Taco Bell. It will come out either one hole or the other.
It's like, how is this supposed to say anything good about anybody that's here?
Yeah.
Taco Bell confuses big corporate people. Hmm. Corporate people are confused about Taco Bell.
Yeah.
So is this going to be it's going to be HQ 2A and 2B, or they're just...
I don't know.
Hmm. We'll find out.
It's a clusterfuck because it's Amazon. All
right. Next up, we got a story out of the People's Republic of China. Their Xinhua state-run media service. They have created an artificial intelligence anchor that can be used to read news for both English and Chinese audiences. The AI is based off of their actual human anchor.
Let's see.
This is creepy as fuck.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It literally reminds me of like those text bots that you can talk to online.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is.
At least it doesn't look as weird as, who is it, Korea?
Mm-hmm.
They have their own like CG news service that creates ridiculous CG.
Oh, that one's from Taiwan.
Taiwan?
Actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're kind of supposed to be funny.
Yeah. No. Why isn't one of these countries like do this with Max Headroom? And I'm sure everybody would be on board with that.
All it would take is a reskinning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with this, they have one for English, one for Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
See, each anchor can work 24 hours a day on its official website and various social media platforms. Mm-hmm. Reducing news production costs and improving efficiency. Basically, put a bunch of people out of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, all they got to do is just type it in and they'll say it. So,
but with the multilingual aspect of it, I can see the utility.
Yeah.
Yeah, utility's there. These particular anchors aren't going to go rogue because they can't.
No.
Yeah.
Their typists could.
Otherwise, they end up in Gulag. But
and this was created in collaboration with local search engine company Sogo.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. So next up, okay. Let me check. See what state this is from. This next one is from NBC.
It's Ohio.
Oh God! Of course. An 11-year-old in Ohio is facing possible felony charges after he stole his mother's SUV and led police on a high-speed car chase because his mom took away his PlayStation.
For the third
justified
time.
For the third time.
Well, I mean, clearly the PlayStation is doing its work because that's some fine driving.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, this is at least a 5-star chase here, so at least he got his money's worth.
He's been playing some steely wheely automobile-y.
Yeah.
So, parents, maybe you don't let your kids play Grand Theft Auto before, you know,
they're like, no,
this is not the work of GTA.
Don't leave your keys in your car.
He led police on a high speed chase. This was a Gran Turismo player.
Yeah.
No, the driving model in GTA 5 is actually really good, so it could have been GTA.
Oh, okay.
No, if this was a GTA model, he would have probably crashed immediately because he would have thought that cars are just bumper cars.
Well, the mom, like, fucking went to bed even though she noticed her car keys were missing, and then she gets a call from the
kid's dad. So clearly we're not dealing
with
Mother of the Year here.
No, nope. The kid's dad calls and says, hey, I saw our kid driving down Memphis Avenue.
What the actual fuck?
What are you fucking doing over there?
Hey, says he took her car because he was bored.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Parenting. Try it sometime.
Yeah.
Apparently she was trying, so I don't know what's going on there.
You gotta gatekeep what they're fucking playing and watching and seeing and who they're hanging out with. It's just garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
At least until they're 14, 15, then they can start making their own choices.
Yeah.
If you've done your job.
Yeah,
especially
even if they're terrible decisions, sooner or later you can wash your hands of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like the keys were way too accessible for this kid.
They were, and then he flipped the SUV, and he wasn't even being chased at the time. He's just like, I just wasn't paying attention.
No, that's totally GTA.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. And our next story is kind of a tragic one. An Australian man 8 years ago was dared to eat a slug, and he did. And this week he died from...
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
He died from a parasite, yeah.
Yeah, so this happened as a result of a dare. Yeah, so he was 19 in 2010 when he and some friends were drinking wine with his friends in a garden. We're sitting over here having a bit of red wine, appreciation night. Trying to act as grown up, and a slug came crawling across here.
Mm-hmm.
Conversation came up, you know, should I eat it? And off Sam went, and bang, that's how it happened. The following days, his legs began to hurt. He worried the slug could be the cause after visiting the doctor. He was told he had rat lungworm, or angiostrongyliasis. It's a disease that affects the brain and spinal cord. It's caused by a roundworm parasite that, in adult form, it's normally only found in rodents. However, an infected rodent can pass on the larvae through their feces, with slugs and snails sometimes becoming infected if they eat the larvae. So, yeah.
Sleep well, everybody.
He contracted eosinophilic meningoencephalitis. Meningitis caused by rat lungworm. Fell into a coma, lasted over a year. We woke up, doctor discovered he had suffered from brain injury. So he's very much disabled. He had some physiotherapy. Was able to gain some reuse of his legs. But yeah, the disability benefit he had about a year ago was being cut. So it came under spotlight again last year. Government reversed that decision as a result. And yeah, eventually he passed away. So here's last words to his mom were, I love you. And yeah.
Yeah, God, it's like CDC is like, they advise not eating raw or undercooked slugs, snails, frogs, shrimp, or prawns. And if you handle snails or slugs, wear gloves and wash your hands. Holy shit.
And it like,
kind of creeps me out.
Don't just fucking eat things because people dare you to.
Yeah,
especially weird.
See, I'm feeling like a fucking genius over here because I don't need to be told that.
Yeah. You know, right?
Yeah, but these kids were also drinking wine. They were a bit drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And they were 19.
I'm drunk too!
You're not in Australia. There's lots of weird shit. Yeah. Lots of weird animals around the place there.
And all of them want to kill you.
See, I'd remember that as well.
Alright, next story we got here. There is an island in Japan that is off the coast of Hokkaido. Well, I should say was, because when nobody was looking, it just straight up disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah. That's where Wakanda is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is Isanbe Hanakita Kojima.
Mm-hmm. Hideo Kojima was behind this somehow.
Yeah. And they believe it was eroded by wind and ice flows.
That's what happened to Outer Heaven.
Yeah. This was discovered by Hiroshi Shimizu, who's an author who's written about Japan's islands. Was sort of doing a tour around, double-checking on them.
Surprise!
Took a visit to Sarafutsu, a village on the northern tip of Hokkaido, and realized the island was not there anymore. Reached out to the local fishery cooperative association, and they consult their sea chart, and it's like, yep, it should be here.
Clearly nobody lived on that island, or I think they
would
notice.
It protruded less than 5 feet above the water.
Yeah, the last time it was surveyed was in 1987, so about 30 years ago. This was in a part of the Japanese Sea that it was affected by ice flows that form in the Sea of Okhotsk. Which lies between Siberia and Russia's Kamchatka Peninsula. And so, yeah, so there's one less island attached to Japan, which they're probably not happy about. That limits some of their ownership of the seas around Japan.
Well, it's not like they were using it.
If it's close to Russia, they probably want to keep claim on that area.
Yeah.
So they can have a strong presence there.
Yeah.
The whole weird thing is China's been creating islands for this reason.
Yeah. There's been a bunch of islands that China and Japan have been fighting over for decades now.
Yep.
Well, nobody gets to win this one.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it seems like Japan has been gaining some new stuff as well. They had a landslide in 2013, caused a nearly 1,000-foot strip of submerged coastline in Hokkaido to rise out of the sea, making Japan just a little bit bigger.
Yep.
Yeah, some of this...
To be completely honest, a lot of it really is just a dick-waving contest between the two.
I wanted to make a dick joke there, too, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
A lot of those countries around the Pacific Ocean and Indian Ocean and all that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's like, hey, there's all this water, nothing in it.
Yeah.
We should take ownership of it.
Yeah. Oh, crap, there's a rock. That rock's mine.
That's really what it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, and we finally have reached the non-serious part of the show, Samsung has proven that flip phones are still a thing. They have revealed their new foldable phone.
I don't think that's proving anything. I think it's just insisting on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is as their new Infinity Flex display. It'll be available in 2019. And it's basically kind of like a mini tablet that you can then fold into sort of a more regular phone style.
Yep.
It's like a third screen on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which looks pretty weird in the video of it.
Yeah, because it looks like you're breaking the glass in half.
Yeah. It's like a weird version of like a full screen 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
Which still is pretty cool. It's part of a new like line of phones that Google will be having called foldables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is gonna be a thing.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because you very much have like here's the bigger screen where I can make my notes with my stylus and all that, and then I can fold it. And here's my normal phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because who wants to spend $1,200 for a motherfucking iPhone? And then spend $800 for an iPad Pro. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's going to be real cheap as a result.
Why do that when you can get the Android phone and the iPad for Apple support?
Yeah, you could do that.
Mm.
Yeah, so this...
I'm still running a Note 3 and an iPad 2. And it's just... it's not steered me wrong yet.
Yeah,
so...
Well, that iPad 2 is... Yeah. Yeah, 2 or 3 or whatever you have.
It's a little long in the tooth, but...
Yeah, you're not getting updates for that anymore, that's for sure.
Yeah.
iOS, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The product they have shown off here is not the final product.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking to have the final version be a little bit sleeker and smaller bezels. So that's kind of the one knock against it, is it kind of looks pretty thick. It kind of looks like the kind
it's of thickness thick around the redis.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. All right. And now for the movie portion of the show. First and foremost, Deadpool 2 came out a while back. It was good. It was glorious. Yeah. And now it's coming back to theaters on December 12th with what they're calling the Princess Bride cut.
Why?
It's going to be PG-13.
It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Once Upon a Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially it has Fred Savage in it. Deadpool's going to read him the story of Deadpool 2, I guess.
Actual crucified fuck.
Yep. It's awesome!
It's Deadpool, so it makes all the sense in the
this
world.
This is grown-up Fred Savage in like the same kind of kid's bed. So, I think he's also said the only F that's going to be in here is Fred... Fred Savage. He says his full name, but...
Yeah.
It's like, alright, this... Sure, keep this going.
And they've even got, like, the old classic bag of Cheetos in the background.
Yeah.
I love the attention to detail that they put into this.
Yep.
By the way, this is just a temporary moment to point out that if you have never seen The Princess Bride, you need to do it, and you need to do it now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
God damn it.
Yeah.
That is one of the contributing factors to the fact that I have offended people with the list of movies that I have not seen.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's going to have a short run from December 12th to Christmas Eve. But they said it's $1 for every ticket sold will be donated to the Fuck Cancer charity.
Nice.
Ryan Reynolds said was a condition of his for doing the PG-13 cut.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Your charity is called the Fuck Cancer Charity. I can get behind that.
Yep. Yep. And next up, Breaking Bad will not go away.
No.
There is a Breaking Bad movie that is now in the works, and I'm wondering what storyline this one's going to be taking.
I don't think there's a definitive rumor for this yet, but I've heard it'll take place after the series finale.
So after Walter White dies.
Yeah. It'll be about Jesse.
The show has been off the air for, like, what, 5 years now?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
miss me with the spoiler crap.
Vince Gilligan is working on this. Mm-hmm. So pretty much like a lot of the old talents coming back.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's not sure whether it's going to be like a theater movie or going to be one that goes on TV or maybe, you know, Netflix or one of those services.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's very much what is going on right now. Yeah, this comes off of Better Call Saul, which is getting tons of great, reviews. People saying it might actually be better than Breaking Bad.
Which is a very, that
high
is
praise.
A hot, yeah. That's a hot, yeah, that's a high hurdle to get over. So, yeah.
Especially for a show that won tons of Emmys.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, this is better than that? Okay.
Especially considering that it's a spinoff on what was kind of a minor throwaway character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still one of the best characters in that show.
Yeah. And finally, our last story for the night. Netflix is going to have a new Our Planet documentary series, and it's going to be narrated by David Attenborough.
Cool.
Yep. Yeah. Really? I'm down for that.
Yeah. He's, he's getting on in years.
He really is.
Mm.
And I wonder if, like, Matt Lucas, who does Round Planet, he does a really good David Attenborough impression. Mm. I wonder if, you know, if he will... I don't know. That'd be a little weird, though, to do it seriously. To, like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so this will be out April 5th, 2019.
All right.
And I got a teaser on the article here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's very much about the climate change, how this is going to change the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, if you live in any coastal areas, guess what?
You're fucked.
It's not going to be there any longer.
Or it's going to be, you know, C-Lab 2020.
Mm. Yeah.
Which may not be so bad.
Which, I mean, if you've seen C-Lab 2021.
It goes pretty wrong. Yep. They blow up about every week.
Yeah. All right. Well, I do believe we have a show, folks.
Yeah.
So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you have a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, or just, you know, something that want to bitch about the midterms, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got it linked to in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can catch our wonderful bit of unscripted shenanigans at Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, Archive.org, pretty much any place where podcasts like ours can be downloaded and enjoyed fully with your ear mouths. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Logie, and Teresa Sammons, good night, sleep tight. Fight's just beginning, America.